I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter number 21. You know, they were talking about the ministry and the area that we were going to be dealing with. And Pastor Baldwin, Pastor Mike Baldwin, Dr. Baldwin, he said, he gave me the topic about the revival of soul winning. The revival of soul winning. And you would never think when you look around so many times that soul winning needed to be revived. But I tell you, we've come to a place where we rely on so much other than what the Lord provided for us to do with. And we've gotten away from the standards, and we've started getting into some type of programs that we think is just as good or very functional for the Word of God. But there is no substitute for the Bible. Amen? In John chapter number 21, the subject is fishers of men, or in this case here, soul winning is the lifeblood of the church. Chapter 21 and verse number 1, the Bible says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter. And I want you to start marking these guys down. Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, the sons of thunder, if you don't know who they are, and two other disciples. Then tell us who they are. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught, what's that word there? What is it? Praise the Lord. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples knew not that it was who? Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him in these words, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish, and listen to these words, which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Father, we love you and thank you today for your grace and mercy. We thank you for the privilege of being here today, being in the house of God, being around God's people, Lord, to encourage one another in the things of God. Father, COBA is not just a conference. It is a commitment that we're going to do forth and go forth and do those things which are pleasing unto you. We thank you, dear Lord, Father, for the privilege of being here. And we take this time seriously, Lord. People need the Lord. And Father, so many times we've gotten away from what it takes to reach them. Forgive me where I fail you, Lord. Empty me of self. Fill me with your Spirit. My desire is to lift up the Savior. Because the commitment is still the same. He said if he be lifted up, he will draw all men unto himself. Father, use me in whatever shape or capacity you see fit. I love you today. Take charge. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight, folks, or today. You know, the Bible still says that he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. Still says that, amen. We are given a great commission, which is to go into all the world and make disciples and then disciple them. Amen. It's one thing to reach people with the gospel. It's another thing to teach them how to reach people with the gospel. Amen. That's how the church continues on in perpetuity, as my dear brother from North Carolina likes to say. Amen. That's how we keep going forward, because the church replicates itself through the word of God. Soul winners teach soul winners how to reach souls. Amen. We talk about the principle about the churches, established churches. The mission of the church is missions. But let me tell you something, folks. Without soul winners, without people being reached with the gospel, you got no church. You just got a collection of people that are gathered together. If we're not careful, like many churches today, there are more lost people that are members of churches anymore than there are saved people in churches anymore, because people are afraid to challenge them on their testimony, on their statement of faith. We just accepted what they said was true, accepted what they did was right, and then we invite them in instead of challenge them where they are. Amen. What did you get saved from? It seems like we just accept people at their word. And by the way, even when it comes down to commissioning people, I am a firm believer. I will not lay hands on somebody into the ministry who is not a soul winner. You are a waste of time. I will not perpetuate foolishness any longer. Churches are dying. People are going to a devil's hell. And we are ordaining people who ain't going to do a thing for the Lord. I won't do it. I'll ask him. Don't show me your doctrinal statement. I'll give it back to you. Take it and leave me to the Lord. If you can't do it, then you might as well rip it up and go find another place. And you know some do. Some people don't care. There's a simple program of perpetuation that the Bible has, and that is to win souls. That's what we're supposed to do. Amen. That's what we're supposed to do. He said, the Great Commission is not just to go reach the world with the gospel. It's to go reach the world and the people for the gospel. I don't believe when we come down here, you see time and time where people are involved in things and they just do a little bit of things in the church, and you see souls coming to the church looking to be saved, looking for the gospel. But it's not there. It's not there. By the way, I do praise the Lord. We had a family that came all the way up from Georgia. They found out. They said, what is this COVID thing we told them about? They said, we're going to come and see. Amen. And I do praise the Lord. I just look back there and I see them back there, husband and wife. They came up. This is their first COVID. Amen. And we're excited to have them with us. Amen. Amen. Folks, we had folks come to our church. And last week, for instance, there was a lady came to the church. She came visiting with another lady. After the service, amen, I asked her if she was to die right now, does she know where she would go? By the way, I ask that question all the time, because the Bible, the Word of God, puts a standard in my life that says if you come to the house of God and I do not give you the gospel, if I do not warn you and you was to die in your sin, according to the Word of God, your blood will be upon my hands, amen. And I want to stand before the Lord like Paul said one day when he said, I am free, I'm cleansed from the blood of all men, for I have not ceased to declare to you the whole counsel of God. I'm going to tell it all. I asked him at the back of the church, I said, if you were to die right now, do you know where you would go? She said, yes, I'll go to heaven. I said, why? She said, because. I said, are you saved? She said, yes. I said, what'd you get saved from? She said, evil. I said, so there's no more evil around you? Well, she said, there is still evil around me. I said, that didn't work very well for you, did it? I hear people, well, I'm saved, and they give me this litany of junk. Well, you know, I was hurting one day, and I went to the hospital, and God said there was something. The doctor said there was something wrong with you, and I prayed to God, and then when he went back, he said, I didn't find anything wrong with you. That's when I knew I was saved. Why couldn't it be that you went to a bad doctor the first time? Who didn't know what the devil he was doing? That cannot be the basis of your salvation, of some experience that you had, or some that told you something. One guy told me, he said, I had a vision. Lay off the garlic. I want to hear about your vision. What did you get saved from? You know, the average person trying to get saved never finds himself dealing with the reality of a place called hell. He never sees himself in danger. The Bible says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. When I deal with salvation, there is the existence of danger. There is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. The imperative. But we will accept people in that broad gate that leads to destruction instead of drawing them into the narrow way which few seem to even find. I talked to her a little bit more about it. Got her to come to the place where she now was troubled. The devil caused a distraction to happen. I reached over to shake somebody's hand, looked back, and she was gone. She got in the car with her friend, and she was angry at me. She said, how dare he do that?
Yeah.
Before he said anything to me, I knew where I was going. Now I'm not sure. When I heard that testimony, I said, amen. Because if you ain't sure, you ain't got it. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. No doubt in my mind that I'm saved. There's a doubt in my mind that you're saved. Because there's only one person I know in here that is definitely going to heaven. That's me. And by the way, you can't speak for anybody else either. I have a niece that says, oh, she's saved. He's saved. No, they're not. I've had several people get mad at me. And by the way, I had just assumed me mad you into heaven than the nice you into hell. So get mad and then get saved. I have no problem with that. Doesn't bother me whatsoever. Amen. One fellow a couple of weeks ago came to the church. He started enjoying the church. He said, I want to join the church. Fellow by the name of Brother Steve. I call him brother now. Him and his wife came forward and said, I want to join the church. I don't let people just join the church. I take them to the side. I want to ask you about your salvation. I don't care where church you came from. I'm going to ask you about your salvation. I asked her about it. She gave a clear testimony. He said, I ain't saved. I'm working on it. He said, nobody ever asked me that. He's been going to churches. Him and his wife have been married 25 years. They've been going to church after church. He said, I went to the big church down there and they didn't even notice me. Nobody ever asked me. They just accepted him because of her. Nobody asked me. What's wrong with asking somebody? I mean, the last time I checked this, the Bible wants us to make sure that they got the gospel. So I asked him. He got saved. Hasn't missed the service. Came back the next week, got baptized. Now and every time I look around, he's standing in my face, standing by the door of the church, standing by my office. He said, it's me, Steve. I can see Steve. Hey, preacher, it's me, Steve. Yeah, I can see Steve. Yeah. I'm here again. It's Steve. I'm thinking, what happened? Lord, what have I done? You better be careful, because when you start leading people to Christ, they're going to come to you and appreciate you. You're not going to be careful. They're going to be, I can't get any peace from them. Then give you a better testimony. Teach them how to do that for somebody else. Amen. And then they can run after them. Amen. I go to missions conferences sometime, and there's a subject I like to preach on is how to get people to Christ. And some of the folks will know what it is. If I start giving out words, they don't know what it is. Amen. If I say, if we, some of them know how to get excited about that. Y'all alone. Get me to your church. I'll show you what it means. No takers. Hey, folks, we come down here in this passage of Scripture, amen? As we come down in this passage of Scripture, we see the disciples there, amen? And there's a handful of them. They get ready to go in this boat, amen? Now, by the way, the Bible tells you that the Lord Jesus talked to them, amen? In all the Gospels, He talked to them about this aspect of fishing. And He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to make you fishers of men. I want you to become fishers of men. I'm going to deal with you about fishing for men. And He talked to fishermen about fishing for men because they can equate to the process. Amen. And not only that, I've learned something about fishing. Amen. Not every kind of fish is caught the same way. Amen. Now, you don't catch fish. You don't catch catfish. Amen. Unless you have a certain type of live bait. Amen. I call myself fishing for big. I got to tell you, I am not a fisherman as far as that's concerned. And one of the reasons why I don't like to bait the hooks. Amen. Call me what you want to. Y'all probably got some experienced fishermen here. It took me 20 minutes with a stick to convince a worm one time to commit suicide on my hook. And once I got him convinced to commit suicide, I didn't catch one. The big fish, a little one, came and snatched him off there and took him away. I'm just not good at it. When I finally did catch a fish one time, it was a nice old big mouth bass. I pulled him out there. I was pretty excited about him, amen. And then when I went to go touch him, he fended me. So I threw him down, and he got away. Amen. I mean, I'm just not a fisherman. Some of y'all thought, oh, I like fishing. And you can sit out there all day long in that heat. I'm not going out there all day long in that heat, amen. I am not going to fish all day, get my head all burned up, and not catch anything. But I acknowledge my weakness in that area. We had a men's outing, praise the Lord. Took all the men up to a place called Helen, Georgia, right off the Chattahoochee River. They was all out there, and they were fishing. It was a fishing expedition. All these men out there, yo, yo. Oh, you know, manly men, amen, because manly men fish. And I didn't want to show them where I stood, so I didn't go near the water, amen. They were out there fishing, and they fished all day. Actually, they fished for 2 days. They caught two fish. Lance caught one. And Brother Jenkins, another fellow, caught one. But they weren't fish. They were that big. Brother Jenkins, one of the guys at the church, had the nerve to clean it. Like, what are you going to do? Put it on some toast? You know, it's not fish. That's not fish. I mean, it was sad to watch them. And they had fished and fished and fished, and it let me know, you don't know how to fish. The Lord Jesus, as He told them that He was going to make them become fishers of men, for 3 years He taught them how to catch different types of fish. What are you talking about, preacher? Different types of fish. Well, you know, He had these fish that was out there laying around there. That some of them were, how can I say this? They were... When you look at them, they weren't the right kind of fish. You had those who were the undesirables, like a woman caught in adultery. Let me show you how to catch a person like this, whose sin is so blatant that they can't hardly bear it, and everybody around them knows how degenerate and how wretched they are. Let me show you how to catch this one. Let me show you how to catch somebody that you don't even like the woman at the well in Samaria, where you don't even want to go there. They're not your kind of people. You would rather walk around an entire area than to go into there and reach them. Let me tell you, and let me teach you how to land one of them great big old fine lepers in your boat. When they cry out, have mercy on me. And the only thing you hear and see is unclean. Unclean. Let me teach you how to catch a handicapped fish like old blind Bartimaeus. Let me help you catch somebody who's so debauched that he can't even get in the water unless somebody helps him. Show you how to catch that kind of person. You got to kind of meet him at the pool. And you got to kind of encourage him that you don't need any man to help you. You need God. The water is already troubled. You're just trying to get man to put you in it. And man can't save anybody. He taught them all these fishing techniques. He taught them how to catch all these different type of fish. Big fish, little fish. Fish that were important. They talked about one of the fish that got caught last night, Miss Lydia. A seller of purple. And another fish that got caught, a lunatic. Y'all remember her? The demon-possessed girl. Jesus knows how to catch demon-possessed people. I haven't learned that lesson yet. You come around me, you start spinning your head, I'm going to get the ushers on you. I don't know how to deal with them yet. Because I told you, I don't know how to catch all those things. I don't know anything about deep-sea fishing. And that's getting deep when they come in your church. I don't care what you say. I don't know how to catch them. I ain't afraid of them. I met them face up. They come over there talking about the illuminated eye, the this and that, and they come straight looking in my eye, and they're talking to me, and they ain't breathing, they ain't blinking, they're coming up and walking on me. I'm there with my wife, I'm there with another young lady. We shouldn't have been there. It was dark, it was in the streets of Atlanta, it was in the ghetto. I shouldn't have been there, but that's where fish are. They're there. They're on the shoreline, they're the bottom rows, they're there, and he comes walking across the street over there, he's talking to me, and I'm looking for areas, okay, which way can we run? And I'm looking around, amen, and he's talking to me, demon possessed. I mean, looking right at me, even when we got in our car, he's talking, the windows are rolled up. He looks at me in my eyes and says, He is not afraid. I said, thank you, Lord, because I was afraid. Amen. I'm like Gideon with the 300 chickens. If you're fearful and afraid, take such and such and go down to the camp. Hey, I need you to come with me for a few moments. Amen. Say what you want to. He taught them how to catch different types of fish because he said, I'm going to make you to become fishers of men. And there's different type of fish. There's different type of areas of fishing. There's different kind of waters. Saltwater fish as opposed to freshwater fish. We got those fish that the highfalutin people eat. The smoked salmon. I like my smoked salmon just slightly pink. And there's just some old-fashioned catfish people with hot sauce and ketchup. They just sledge. They dredge the bottom. They looking for dead stuff. My kind of fish. He spent 3 years teaching them how to fish for men. Every type of man, every type of woman. Shows you how to use little boys and girls in the ministry. Just happened to have a lad here with a few fish. I'll teach you how to fish. I'll let you know that the young people can fish. The old people can fish. The middle-aged people can fish. Anybody can fish if you know how to fish for men. And these men knew how to fish for men. Their basic principle of life was fishermen, aside from some other people he had with him. Now they go out here and they go on a fishing expedition. They quit on Jesus. See, they out there fishing and Jesus wasn't with them. It wasn't that they didn't know Jesus was alive. This is the third time he had to deal with them. And by the way, I think Peter is one of those guys who had learning curve problems. He always had to deal with Peter in threes. Told Peter, you're going to deny me three times. He had to show himself to Peter three times. Peter had to say and confess that he loved him three times. When it came time, I need you to go fish for this Gentile fish. A Gentile fish to a Jewish guy was an ugly fish. I mean, And by the way, there's some fish out there that were, I mean, you ever see them? They are ugly. They are ugly on levels that you think there's no way I would ever eat that thing. Knowing that if he had a chance, he would eat you. Amen. But there's a centurion over here who needs to be caught for the glory of God. And Peter, you've already got issues with him. And three times I'm going to let this napkin down. And then you get to the lesson. I'm no respecter of persons. They fish all night, folks. I mean, they're out there casting. They're out there pulling that. They're out there in that boat. They didn't quit on Jesus. They didn't quit on God. He's out there and they fish all night. And the Bible said they caught nothing. Now, they used to catch people all the time. They got nothing. Jesus shows up on the shore the next morning. And he asked them a simple question. Children, by the way, when you quit on Jesus and stop soul winning, that's childish. I didn't go because the preacher didn't send me to the hot prospects. They're on their way to hell. They're all hot prospects. And they're going to quit on God. He said, have you any meat? They answered in capital N-O. No! They got no fish. Got no meat. Jesus already dealt with these guys about fishing before over there in Luke. Remember that? Luke chapter 5, I believe it is. He told them to launch out into the deep. He said he went over there and they had boats that were not even attended. They were over there washing their nets even though they caught nothing. Amen. You cleaning your nets and ain't caught nothing? Well, they knew how to fish. They knew what time the fish was biting. And this time of day, the fish don't bite. Maybe they ain't run across the hungry fish that live inside the project area that nobody fishes for. Maybe they never went across that. My wife and I, one day, we were very, very, very young, just married. We went down to Key Largo, and we went shrimping. Now, by the way, when y'all go shrimping, we go to shrimp places. Red Lobster, Captain D's. That's when we go shrimping. Amen? Well, we actually went where you go down there in Florida, you go down there, and you go down by the edge of the water, the rock area, and you shine your light down on them. And if you're not careful, in that muck and mire, you shine your light, and you'll see these little eyes looking up at you. You know what you have to realize then? That could be a shrimp. We went out there and caught a whole bunch of shrimp. We don't know how to do it, but that's what we did. That's what they showed. Shine the light on them. You'll see them. You can get them. They caught nothing. Jesus taught them how to fish. Told them to launch it down. And he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. And even then, Peter said, you know, we have fished all night and caught nothing. We've canvassed that neighborhood before. We've handed out tracts over there. We was over there last year. Didn't catch a fish. Didn't catch nothing. Amen. Didn't catch nothing. They don't sit you going back over there. Let's like anathema over that area. We kicked the dirt off of our feet before we let the dirt get on our shoes. Hey, they go over there. He said, we caught nothing, but as I command at you, whatever you say, Lord, I'm going to let out the net. You know something? They caught such a great amount of fish that the net broke and all those other fish got away because they didn't want to listen and follow the Lord. He knew better. He's a fisherman. This is what I do. But what you don't know is he's the one who placed the fish there. He comes down here, folks. They catch nothing. They catch nothing. They catch nothing. They used to be good fishermen, but somewhere along the line, this principle about fishing has gotten out of people's mind. This principle about soul winning has gotten out of people's mind. And we figure a great advertising program is just as good as an old-fashioned net. Let me tell you something. It is not. You know how many people fish anymore? We don't go where the fish are. We want farm-raised fish. Farm-raised. I want farm-raised catfish. I want farm-raised trout. I want farm-raised. And we want to go over there and try and catch the easy thing. I want to catch the people who left the other church. I want to catch the people who ain't doing nothing over here and try and drag them into my little old fold. I want to build my edifice and I want to build my organization and I want to farm-raise them. We take people out of our schools. Down south, they don't even hardly let the people that they pick up on the bus mingle with the people that come on their own. I'll go ahead and give them a little snack on the bus. Because I can't let them mingle, the wild fish, mingle with my farm-raised fish. And we've got a bunch of sad soul winners who don't know what it's like to get out there and cast a net. I was writing, still writing, a book called There's No Fish in the Bathtub. Under the axiom, you know the old axiom, if you give a man a fish, you'll feed him for a day. If you teach him how to fish, you'll feed him for a lifetime. But if you don't tell him where the fish are, you'll deceive them for generations. We don't know how to fish. We don't even know where the fish are. We say, that water's out of there. It's so too nasty to fish in. I would never eat anything out of that water. What you don't know is you probably are eating something out of that water. Why aren't they catching any fish? Why did they quit on Jesus? They had seen him alive. They had seen him alive not just once. They seen him alive twice. This is the third time. And even the third time, they don't recognize him. Here's the Apostle Peter, the great Apostle Peter, who the Lord Jesus is going to call him Simon. Why are you going to call him Simon? Because somewhere along the line, you forgot who you are. And let me remind you who you acted like. You done gone back to your old ways. You done got back to your elitist self that you think you know everything. And by the way, I'm sick and tired of somebody telling me how such and such did it. Oh, this program that they use. This program that they use. I'm going to get this program that they use. And they got all these programs and ain't nobody winning souls. You know, I got a program. The Bible says go. What a concept. Go where? Go where the fish are. I know where the fish are. Where? They're at Kroger's. I'm going out there to hand out tracts. What about the highways, the hedges, to compel them to come? I ain't going over there. First of all, when you know there's still people who, when they go in certain areas, hit the lock button on their car. I'm just saying it happened one time. Y'all have to talk to me about it. That's Bud Calvin that's here. He didn't do it anymore. He comes down into places that most people won't even go. Folks, as he comes down here, I want to give you just a few things here about this crew, why there was no more soul winners, no fish in the boat. By the way, there was plenty of fish there. Used to put the net down on the right side. They caught 153 fish. And they weren't no little ones like we caught. They caught, the Bible called them great fish. And you know what the strange thing about the fish that they caught? Jesus didn't need them. There was already fish there. He had the meal already prepared for them. He didn't need their fish. He already had the bread there. The meal was prepared for them. It was them who were the ones missing out. When they couldn't catch anything, Jesus said, now bring up the fish which ye have now caught. How did I get to this place now where I'm catching fish again? From over here, where I was at. How come we couldn't catch fish before? Let me give you a few things and then we'll call this thing a plan. Introductions are terrible. Messages are short, but introductions are awful. When you look at this crew who's doing the fishing now, before Jesus comes, you find a group of people who are discouraged. They don't think soul winning works anymore. They think all we have to do is have a good program and everything will be all right. But, you know, if we just get them into church, if we get them under the sound of the gospel, God didn't say wait to get them under the sound of God. He didn't tell you to stand on the hilltop and say, oh, come to the church on the hill and hear the gospel. He said, take it to them. Wherever they are. I enjoy talking with people. I'll pick with them. Amen. This young fellow over there, he saw me. I'll pick with them wherever they are. If they're behind the McDonald's window thing, I'll pick with them. Amen. I'll ask them for free stuff before I offer them free stuff. They say, we've got nothing free here. I said, how much is your ketchup? Well, that's free. Well, that's starting. That's a starting point. If we start with ketchup, we can move up to a sandwich if you're not careful. Amen. You compromise a little, I'll get you to correct the whole lot. Amen. They think I'm insane. That's all right. Go to the supermarket. Come over there. I have shopped out of many people. Oh, that's what, exactly what I was looking for. And reach in their cart, they look at me. Oh, no, this isn't exactly it. And put it back. And even the cashiers. They've had miserable days because other folks are coming in. How much is this can of peas? Well, the sign says, I got a coupon. Says, then take the sign, take the coupon to them, and stop arguing with the lady. She's had a bad enough day dealing with other people, so I'll go over there, and I'll get a whole basket full of stuff and say, is this going to be more than $4? And they look up from their busy thing, and they, it's just going to be a little bit more than $4. My wife says, we have led cashiers to the Lord at their cash register. You just got to know how to fish. You don't know what kind of bait to give them. Jesus met a woman at a well and said, I'm thirsty. He asked her for water that he never drank. Sent his disciples for food that he never ate. And told them now that you see this thing, here's a whole harvest coming your way. I'll show you how to fish. People now, they out there fishing with sonar. Big fish, big fish. What's a big fish? Money, he got money. Big fish. And then I'll let him get away. I once caught a fish this big. No, you didn't. Folks, the crew was discouraged. As far as they were concerned, Peter's there. He's the ringleader. He feels he's been dejected by Jesus. He denied him 3 times. Jesus tried to encourage him. He said, tell Peter also. But Peter, he's still in his way. The Lord had to get this stuff. By the way, Peter is typical of the hard-headed Christian. You ever see those people? You can't tell them anything. They know everything because they read a book. Because they heard, they went to a seminar. They never done nothing. Hard is, you can't tell me how to fish. I had my own company. I was in the fishing business. And I'm going back to the fishing business. That what I knew how to do best. I knew how to fish and caught nothing. Got another fellow over there. This crew's discouraged. I got Nathaniel criticizing everything. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Yeah, the Lord. Got Thomas called Didymus. I'm not going to believe until I'm able to take my hand and thrust it in his womb. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the sons of Thunder, they're part of the, they had a good company. When they left their daddy didn't miss them because he already had other higher heads. He was doing them a favor by giving them a job. Amen. They're there with us. They leave their daddy's company. And they have the nerve to ask the Lord, when you come into your kingdom, could you let me sit on one side, your right side, and my brother sit on the left side? Jesus told them, no, that's not for me to give you. So they sent Mama to ask him. Now, could you go talk to Jesus and tell him, we want to sit in the high seats. I want a position. I want to be a deacon. I want to be an usher. I want something to do. And we try and get people something to do to get them in there and be steady for the Lord. Thomas criticizing everything. I mean, Nathaniel criticizing. Thomas doubting. The sons of Zebedee doting. And two other disciples that he didn't name. Maybe one of them was named Aaron. Maybe one of them was named Pastor Ben. He comes out here. The crew was discouraged. The crew was dysfunctional. You know, you had people out there fishing who didn't know anything about fish. Nathaniel and them wasn't no fishermen. What are they doing in a boat? Not everybody who goes in the boat knows how to fish. But he's out there. Dysfunctional crew. Verse number 2. They were together, Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples. Dysfunctional. By the way, the Lord knows how to take the dysfunctional and make it functional. Amen. The Bible shows us how the Lord can take, as it were, the synergetic mix of people. Where the sum of the whole is greater, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. It was a defeated crew. Simon Peter said, I go a-fishing. They said, we also go with thee. Defeated. Discouraged. Dysfunctional. Disorganized. Sometimes we go out there and approach soul winning so haphazard that we wonder if anybody would ever get saved. We go, praise the Lord. That man knows how to fish. If anybody knows how to get saved, I normally don't do this. If anybody knows how to get saved, we go door knocking and really don't worry about witnessing to people. We're happier if they're not home. Just so I say, well, I went fishing, but there was no fish. There was no fish. I fished all night. Went to almost 3 fishing poles. Fishing holes and didn't catch nothing, so, you know. And we placate that. Well, at least you went. Others didn't even go. The other day we got excited. Took a whole busload of people. A whole busload of them on there. There were so many coming out. And 30 of them in the bus taking them over there. Away we go to fishing. We didn't sing that, but I'm just telling you what it looked like. Amen. And we got over there and knocked on doors. And it was hot. Oh, my soul, it was hot. We were in Georgia heat. Hot. People were sweaty. After about the third door, it's like, this is the way we... I gotta go back. We got organized. We got on that bus. We went to that area. We canvassed that area. And we realized something. I may not catch him today, but I'm going back. I'm going back. They were disorganized. They were dejected in verses 4 and 5. They caught nothing. Nothing. Then all of a sudden, verse number 6. Jesus said, have you any meat? They said, no. Then all of a sudden they got redirected. Watch this, verse 6. And he said unto them, this is when soul went in. This one started up. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. And ye shall what? Find. They started pulling that net and then somebody said, Peter, it's Jesus. John said that. Peter was naked. He ain't going soul winning naked. You ain't going soul winning out there with everything hanging out. You representing the Lord. He naked. By the way, I don't see how that crew could get together. I have no desire to be around a bunch of naked men. None. You're homophobic. No, I'm a man. And I have no desire. To... He got over there. Then all of a sudden, verse 7 says, and through 9 it says, they got delighted. Why? Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself in the sea. Now I'm ready to go to the Lord. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Dragging the net with fishes. And it didn't break. It didn't break. They got a little bit delighted. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire, coals there, and fish laid thereon with bread. Then they got dynamic. Jesus said, show me the fish. Bring me the fish which you caught now. Verse number 11 says, they caught 153 fish. We'll close here. Then the crew got, in verse number 12, they got back to the place where they were disciples, learning. Jesus said, we got all these fish now. Now we can come and die. Now we can get involved. Now we can do what we need to do. Old-fashioned soul winning, folks. You can't replace the Word of God. It teaches us how to do it. I don't need somebody else's program. I think I just need to follow the book. There's plenty of fish out there. There's all kinds of fish. If you're not careful, God can use you to catch them. Father,